and welcome back to the Gubba Podcast. I'm Gubba, a first-time homesteader following in the footsteps of my homesteading forebears. In this podcast, I talk about homesteading, prepping, and everything in between. Today, I want to talk to you about urban homesteading. I'm often asked how you can start homesteading if you don't have land or if you live in the city, and I kindly remind people who ask me that land is not required for homesteading. You can homestead from anywhere, and homesteading is more of a mindset than it is having land or having animals even. Homesteading is often associated with living on large tracts of rural land where the opportunities to grow food, raise animals, and live off the land seem endless. However, again, this notion that you must live in a rural area, have a big thing of land to be a homesteader is simply a myth. So throw that out of your mind and do not let it hold you back. Homesteading is a mindset. It's about self-sufficiency. It's about reducing your reliance on external systems. It's about learning practical skills. And although you are learning to be self-sufficient, you are learning to cooperate and build your surrounding community as well. And the good news is you can homestead from anywhere, even in the city. And I stand by this. Whether you are in a small apartment or a townhouse, there are ways to embrace homesteading in that urban environment. And the beauty of homesteading in the city is knowing that you don't have to leave space you love to live the life you want. So in today's episode, we'll dive into the logistics of how you can homestead in the city with a focus on key areas such as growing food, raising animals, making your own products, and implementing other homesteading systems into your lifestyle. I also have a homesteading guide that can help get you started wherever you're at. I will put that in the show notes for you. So starting out, one of the most rewarding aspects of homesteading is growing your own food. Truly walking out to your garden and grabbing some berries or a tomato is an incredible, fulfilling feeling. But how do you grow food in the city where space is often limited? Well, the answer is by maximizing every inch of space you have available. So even small spaces such as balconies, windowsills, front doorsteps, and even countertops can be turned into mini gardens. I remember when I lived in a multiple unit living area, the guys below me had tons of grow bags that filled their front porch. And because none of the other tenants cared, they just dispersed grow bags around the outside of the building. And I thought that was so neat. So if you're living in a tiny apartment, you can grow herbs, leafy greens, and even vegetables in containers, hanging baskets, or wall-mounted planters. Vertical planters are incredible space utilizers when it comes to gardening and using every inch of space you have. Instead of going horizontal, you're going vertical up a wall. Also, one thing that my parents do, they don't have a ton of land, but they use their windowsills. So right now, my dad is growing sprouts in the windowsill, which I think is neat. They also grow herbs in their windowsill in the kitchen. And then in my parents' yard, they don't have a ton of room. They do not live on land. They just have a smaller yard. But what my dad did to maximize his gardening space is he built raised beds and just dedicated certain portions of the yard to his gardening endeavors, him and my mom. And they have an incredible garden that outdoes mine, and it has for the past few years. It is so neat to watch because they are entirely self-taught. I got them into gardening a few years ago. I didn't grow up doing it. They didn't grow up doing it. And I started by showing them my food storage and saying, we need to be self-sufficient. And so they started gardening, and now they have really taken it upon themselves to turn their little urban yard into a actual producing garden. And when I say they outdo me, my dad had so many potatoes and my mom had all these berries going and garlic galore. So I'm excited to see what their garden brings. But this is just to say, like, for inspiration for you, that you can do it in these small spaces. You can utilize your windowsills. You can grow those herbs or those sprouts. The sprouts that my dad grows, they're so good. And I know he really loves them because I believe there's a compound called sulforaphane in them that has all these incredible health properties that he is into. And then their backyard that is just turned into an incredible small garden. You'd look at it and think, wow, yeah, I wouldn't think that you could grow so much in this space. But when you utilize your space properly and you are making a plan, you will be so surprised at what and how much you can grow. Vertical gardening really takes container gardening a step further, allowing you to use vertical space to grow crops. Say you don't have a ton of room for horizontal raised beds, vertical gardening is incredible. You can install trellises for climbing plants such as cucumbers, peas, or beans. I did that for my peas last year. I had all these trellises going and it was so fun just going out there because they climb up and then you get a pick. There are also vertical planters that allow you to stack pots to maximize space. I think these are incredible. And even where I have a lot of space to garden and I have raised beds, they got completely destroyed last year due to the vole problem. So I have been looking into a better vertical system because they don't climb so much vertically. They stay on the ground and they go for roots. So if you have access to a wall or a fence, installing a garden tower or other vertical systems can increase your yield without taking up much ground area. In fact, even in apartments, you can grow herbs and small crops on the windowsill that get sufficient sunlight, like I mentioned. You could do a whole vertical garden of strawberries because they will vine and transplant into the other pots. And I love strawberries. That's why I mentioned them. They're such a proficient crop and they taste so good. So when it comes to gardening in an urban environment, container gardening is an ideal solution for the urban homesteading. Plants like basil and parsley and spinach and lettuce, they do well in small pots and these types of crops grow quickly. So keep that in mind for when you're planning your garden, just the timing and where you want to grow, what you want to grow. You also have tomatoes, peppers, and beans, which are also a great choice for container gardens. These plants tend to be more compact and thrive in small spaces and will give you a good yield. So just imagine going out to your tomato plant and you have it in your container and oh man, it's such an incredible feeling I believe everyone deserves to have. And when it comes to vertical gardening, it's just absolutely incredible because it truly takes your space a step further. Like I mentioned, you're going up. And that is space that is underutilized. Even when it comes to food storage and storing food, people don't think that you can vertically store your food storage by building shelves instead of just having totes. But allowing you to use the vertical space to grow those crops will give you such an advantage. Like I said, you can install trellises for those climbing plants, and it really adds a different aspect and flavor into your garden. And if you are lucky enough to have a community garden in your area, this can be a fantastic, amazing opportunity to grow your food in a larger, dedicated space. So many cities have community gardens where you can rent a plot, plant vegetables, fruits, and flowers. And community gardens are a great way to share knowledge, network with like-minded people, and grow a larger variety of crops than you might be able to grow on your own. I remember I was near a community garden in one of the places I had lived, and walking by it in the summer, like there was always people working out there and working on the soil, and you could stop and discuss with them of what they were doing and all the coordination that went into it. Oh, it was so incredible. Just this community building thing during the season. I would 100% recommend it, even if you are a beginning gardener, okay? A beginner gardener, people are going to love to help you. You can also look into workshops in your community. There are experienced gardeners who want to share their knowledge, who want to help you grow and get you to a point where you feel comfortable growing in your own area. Because that is almost the whole purpose, right? Where you're self-sufficient, you're growing in your own area, but also building that community along the way is so beneficial. I love just even thinking about community gardens because they are such good vibes all the way around. So definitely check that out. Maybe see if there's workshops so you can learn. Those would be starting right around now. And once you start growing food, you'll quickly realize that preserving it is just as important as growing it. So fresh produce is wonderful, but preserving it for later use ensures that you have a year-round food supply and you don't want your hard work to go to waste. There are various methods you can use to preserve food, and they can all be done in a small apartment or urban setting. So canning is a great option for urban homesteaders. This technique allows you to preserve fruits, vegetables, meats, stocks, broths, and while canning does require some equipment, jars, lids, a canner, and sometimes a pressure canner, it's feasible to do in an urban environment. So keep that in mind. This is an easy way to preserve what you are growing. So you can search the thrift stores for supplies, you know, the jars, canners, and usually the secondhand stores are filled with canning supplies. And sometimes you can even find canners for such a steal there. So the beauty of canning is that it's a long-lasting form of preservation. And once you've mastered the basics, you can store your preserves for months or even years. You can a wide range of foods, like I mentioned, jams, sauces, pickles, stews, all kinds of meats. So they are providing a nutritious and cost-effective alternative to store-bought items as well. So not only are you putting up what you planned in your garden, but you are also building a food storage for a good price. And if you don't have a lot of storage space or prefer simpler preservation techniques, because with canning, you do have those bulky jars, fermentation is an excellent choice. So if you don't have a long-term food storage where you can put up a bunch of jars, you can ferment vegetables and fruits, and it's an age-old technique that not only preserves food but also enhances its nutritional value. You can make fermented pickles and sauerkraut and kimchi and even fermented beverages like kombucha and kefir. And kefir is one of my favorite fermented foods because it is fermented milk. So it is like a yogurt, but full of more beneficial bacteria and gut building goodness. So for fermentation in general, all you need is a clean jar, salt, water in the right conditions. It doesn't have to be difficult. Many urban homesteaders enjoy the benefits of fermentation because it's a simple and effective way to preserve food. So you can use up your garden produce, ferment it, put it in the fridge, and use it daily. For example, my kefir, I just keep on the counter. I have my kefir grains, and then each day I strain out the kefir, add in more milk, and then let it sit until it ferments, and I just use it as I go, like a yogurt. So you can get these fermentation setups going in your urban homestead, and it's not like canning where you get all the food together, you put it in a canner, it makes it shelf stable, and then you store that food away. For a more immediate preservation option as well for you, freezing your food is such a great method, especially if you have a freezer and you have the space. So freezing fresh produce, meats, or prepared meals allows you to stockpile food for later use. You can freeze just about anything from vegetables to soups and casseroles, ensuring that you always have homemade food on hand. Keep in mind that some vegetables do need to be blanched. This is where you put the veggies or the fruits into a pot of boiling water and then put it into a bowl of ice water. And this helps the preservation because it stops the enzymatic reactions going on, so then it can preserve flavor and texture, because some things will not hold their flavor and texture after you freeze them. So just keep in mind of whatever you are freezing. So also properly sealing your frozen food with vacuum sealed bags will also help reduce freezer burn and extend the shelf life. So just keep in mind too that if the power goes out, you need to have a plan so the food in your freezer does not spoil. I'd suggest canning food from your freezer or freeze drying it and having a rotating plan for that. And now let's talk about one of the most exciting aspects of urban homesteading, which is raising animals in the city. And while it may seem impossible, there are several types of animals that you can raise even in the smallest of urban environments. So raising animals in the city is all about being strategic, focusing on small, low maintenance animals that provide a lot of benefits with minimal space. And one of the most popular urban homesteading animals is the chicken. Many cities allow residents to keep small flocks of hens, usually 2 to 6 birds, provided they follow local regulations or your HOAs. They generally do not allow roosters. Again, I think these rules are ridiculous and you should be able to do whatever you want, but chickens are excellent for beginners because they're low maintenance and easy to care for. They require a secure coop for protection, food, water, and a place to roost, but that's about it. And hens will provide you with fresh eggs daily. And in urban environments, they can thrive in small backyard spaces or even rooftops, depending again on your local regulations. You could even consider quail, which are smaller than chickens and provide eggs as well. So if you have a small backyard, you can easily fit a chicken coop, which can be as simple or as elaborate as you like. Many people build their own coops, ensuring that the chickens are safe from predators and have space to move around comfortably. In an apartment setting, if you are allowed to keep chickens, which would be so cool, you can even set up a small coop or run on the balcony, patio, or terrace, though you will need to ensure that your chickens have access to sunlight and protection from the elements. I would just keep 2 chickens in this scenario so they can keep each other company, and 1 to 2 eggs a day is plenty. You will need to consider winter cover for if you live in an area where it gets cold and you have snow. You'll have to refresh water daily and keep them safe again from the elements. They are sensitive to that. Honestly, if you had a small coop, just wrapping with tarping would work. People think chickens need heat lamps, but if you have heat lamps, they never acclimate to the cold. Heat lamps or supplemental heating is necessary when they are chicks and they don't have their true feathers, which help regulate their temperature. Another animal that you can raise in the city is bees. So yes, beekeeping is growing in popularity in urban settings, especially in cities that have a lot of rooftops or community gardens. Urban environments are excellent for beekeeping because there's often an abundance of flowers and fruit trees and gardens that bees can pollinate. So if you're interested in beekeeping, you can start by taking an introductory beekeeping class, maybe if your county's offering it or the city, to learn the basics of caring for a hive in your area. Beekeeping is totally possible in a small space. Beekeeping requires a bit of an investment upfront for hives, equipment, and protective gear, but it's an incredible rewarding practice. You can harvest honey, beeswax, bee pollen, and even propolis. And beyond the practical benefits, beekeeping also supports biodiversity by helping pollinate the plants around you. So if you have a balcony, again, or a rooftop or front doorstep, see how common these are. It's common for gardening and for raising animals, but these can be the perfect spots to place a beehive, ensuring you have a steady supply of honey and a sustainable hobby, which is so cool. But if you want to get gear for a good price, that is when you are going to be checking the Facebook Marketplace or the Craigslist at the end of the season. So in fall, that's a lot of times where people are posting. They don't want to do beekeeping next season, so they're getting rid of their gear. Or right now in spring, they're not doing bees, so they are getting rid of their gear. So you can get good deals in these areas. Whenever I post about beekeeping, I get so many complaints of how expensive everything is. It doesn't have to be. Like, check the thrift stores, check the Craigslist, check the Facebook Marketplace, and you will be surprised at the deals that you can find. You just have to be watching. If you are interested in raising livestock for meat or manure, rabbits are a fantastic option for urban homesteaders. Rabbits require minimal space and are quiet, making them well suited for city life. You won't have neighbors complaining. Just ensure you clean out their runs so they don't stink and they have a nice place to live. Same with chicken runs as well. You will want to keep up on the maintenance for those. You can keep them in smaller cages or pens. Just look into the best practice to make sure that your rabbits are comfortable, which they don't take up much room. And the best part about rabbits is they reproduce quickly and produce a lot of meat in relation to their size. So they also provide high quality manure that's perfect for fertilizing your garden. So you see how these things are all coming together. Rabbits are also relatively low maintenance animals. So they need food, a diet of hay, pellets, fresh water, clean living space. A small backyard, balcony, or even a garage can house a few rabbits comfortably. So many urban homesteaders choose to raise rabbits for their meat, but they're also great, again, for their waste, which can be composted and used and nourish your garden. I just love how things come full circle when you're homesteading. You start to see how things work together. So rabbits also eat grass as well. So if you have a yard, they can help on your journey to self-sufficiency. I see a lot of homesteaders who do rabbits for this reason because of how self-sufficient they can make you. Another key skill of any homesteader anywhere is the ability to mend and repair clothing. So when you're living a more self-sufficient lifestyle, you learn to take care of your possessions rather than throwing them away. This is not only practical, but also a great way to save money. So mending clothes can be done with just a few basic tools: needle, thread, fabric patches, and scissors. So learning how to patch torn clothing, sew on buttons, and even hem pants can save you a lot of money in the long run. I think consumer mentality of buy, 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 and throw anything away that has wear can be a bit silly and wasteful. Obviously, some items will run through their life, but we have become so accustomed of just buying new things every season for every style to stay on top of the styles and what's in. And I think that stuff is a racket. So rather than throwing away items that have small issues, you can mend them, breathe new life into your clothes, and avoid contributing to the wastefulness of fast fashion. By mending your clothes, which seems like such a small skill, but it really is timeless, you're also developing a deeper connection with your belongings. It's a skill that will serve you well, especially if you're looking to become more resourceful and independent from the system, because then you are paying attention to how you are treating your clothes, what is wearing them down. And I sew occasionally, but I do basic mends to my clothing when there are holes or buttons missing, and I'm currently in the process of replacing my clothing with natural fibers. So not purchasing anything anymore that is synthetic, like polyester or nylon anymore, but instead opting for 100% cotton, wool, or linen. And when you go down the rabbit hole, you discover what you wear affects your hormones, like everything else. So natural fibers are beneficial for us, though. This is something that everyone can do, just being more aware of what you are purchasing. So another thing, and the last thing that I will discuss in the urban homesteading and what you can do, is composting. I love composting. It is an excellent way to reduce waste, recycle organic material, and enrich the soil for your plants. In an urban setting, you might not have a large compost heap in the backyard, right? You know, built out of the pallets, and you're composting a ton of stuff and it's huge, but that doesn't mean you can't compost. Kitchen composting is an easy way to recycle food scraps and turn them into nutrient-rich soil for your plants. So cool. So one of the simplest ways to compost in a small space is by using a worm bin or a bokashi bucket. So worm bins are small containers that house composting worms such as red wigglers. These worms break down food scraps quickly, turning them into rich, dark, beautiful compost. compost that can be used to fertilize your garden. And bokashi composting, on the other hand, is a fermentation-based process that doesn't require worms. So instead, food scraps are placed in an airtight container and a special bokashi bran. This process is fast and odor-free, making it ideal for apartment dwellers. So compost, you don't want it getting out of control where there is a stink, right? But both methods allow you to compost in a small space, such as under the sink, in a closet, or on a balcony, or on your counter, wherever works for you. And the resulting compost can be used to enrich the soil again for your plants. You were going back to your garden and just creating this awesome cycle where you don't have as much waste coming from your home. So beyond what some may think, urban homesteading is not only possible, but it is incredibly rewarding. With a little creativity and resourcefulness and just figuring out like what's going on in your community, what do you want to do? You can embrace a more self-sufficient lifestyle no matter where you live. I stand by that. You do not need land. And again, do not forget that engaging with your community is another form of homesteading, in my opinion. So attending those farmers markets or joining homesteading groups with other individuals seeking the same kind of hobbies and lifestyle as you is so beneficial and valuable, because you will grow and learn together, make friends, learn new skills. So from growing your own food in small spaces to raising animals and just practicing these awesome habits like composting, urban homesteading offers a way to reconnect with your environment and community and live a fulfilling independent life, all while you're in the city, all while you live in a subdivision. Like, you can do it. It's just about taking control of your resources and finding solutions that work for your space, your schedule, and your values. You can figure it out. You may not think you have the time to do this, but you do. Okay, just give it a try. Whatever you want to try, just give it a little bit. Dive in head first and go for it. So whether you're growing herbs and sprouts on a windowsill, or harvesting honey from your rooftop, or you have grow bags all on your front doorstep, homesteading in the city can be as rewarding as it is empowering. So start small and see how much you grow, both in your space and in your skills and how you're feeling. And I just gotta say, just go for it. That is my biggest advice. And I wanna say thank you so much for listening today. I hope that this was helpful, informative, and motivational. And I appreciate your time and hope you have an amazing day. If you enjoyed this podcast, make sure to share and let others know that they can homestead where they're at. And I will see you next time. Have a good one. Bye.